Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Jacob Zuma was offered medical parole yesterday. Was big news across the country. Joining us this morning is Mzwanela Manyi, who is Jacob Zuma Foundation spokesperson. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good news and good morning to all your listeners.
So it obviously came as a little bit of a surprise to many of us. Did it come as a surprise to the Jacob Zuma Foundation, or is this something that you had been hoping was going to happen?
No, look, the fact of the matter is that this whole process was initiated by the system. So obviously, we are aware that the system is busy with that process, but we didn't know the outcome, and we didn't know when would the outcome be announced. But we are aware that the system is busy on this process.
Do you think it's important that that South Africans understand the nature of Jacob Zuma's medical condition, or is this something that as a foundation you would want to keep private?
I don't think it's up to the foundation, but I think it's up to the constitution of this country. And it's also up to a whole range of medical dictates that doctor-patient issues remain confidential. It is quite unfortunate that in South Africa, when it gets to President Zuma, there is a general understanding that he's got no rights, that his rights can be trampled on, his rights can be waived, and all of that. And by the way, this is it's a product of media training. Over the years, the media has been very negatively reporting on President Zuma. So the South African psyche is positioned negatively against President Zuma. So he is never regarded as a person that requires the rights as enshrined in the Constitution, including the Constitutional Court of this country, which expressly decided that because it's President Zuma, that the normal procedures are not going to apply. So basically, you then have Zuma laws, Zuma this, Zuma that. So indeed, it's quite unfortunate in South Africa that everyone can have their confidentiality of their medical conditions, but when it comes to President Zuma, it must be public. Mm. I mean, really, what kind of system is this?
Don't you think that given that he was the former president of the country, there should be a greater transparency around it, given the fact that you don't want there to be the impression that there's something untoward that is happening?
We should all try to internalize, accept, and understand is the concept of equality before the law. Equality before the law should mean that even if it's President Zuma, treat him like you would treat any other person. Don't require a whole lot of things that you don't require ordinarily. There are three categories of illnesses that qualify a person to be on medical parole. Mm-hmm. One is either you are terminally ill, two is either you are incapacitated, three is either you have a severe illness that limits your daily activity or self-care. Any of the above, one of the above is what was applicable to President Zuma. All the details will be contained in the medical report. I think if we have a situation in this country, if we have a situation where the trust deficit is such that we don't trust this government, then I think we should start here now in 27th of October, whenever the date is, vote this government out if you don't trust it, because this whole process is government initiated, it's government decided, it's government processes, and all of that. Now, if we're not going to have a society that says we don't trust the outcome, so it means you don't trust this government. Vote it out.
Look, I certainly don't disagree with that. If people, that's the whole concept and the basis of a democracy. If you don't like what is happening in front of you, you have an obligation to get to the to get to the voting stations and to vote. But the question, I guess, is you seem to be functioning on the assumption that Jacob Zuma hasn't been treated like an ordinary citizen. But if I was called to a commission and I was ordered by a court to do so, I would have to, and I would be in contempt of court. In what way do you see Jacob Zuma, former President Jacob Zuma, being treated unfairly by the system? How has the system been more prejudicial, I guess, to former President Jacob Zuma than to a normal citizen?
Everybody right now, I think a very good question. Everybody right now who is in the prison cells, as in President Zuma, has had an opportunity that has not been provided to President Zuma. Number one, all those inmates that are there have had to go through a trial. President Zuma was denied a proper trial in a trial court. All those inmates that are there had an opportunity to appeal their sentences. President Zuma, because he was dealt with by the highest court in the land and as a court of first instance, he was denied the right to appeal whatever sentence he was given. Or whatever verdict he was given, was denied a chance to appeal the verdict.
Well, I thought, but he didn't.
Let me just complete.
All right, sorry, please finish.
Also, he is the only person who also, in terms of the sentence, he did not have an opportunity to mitigate his sentence. He's the only person that has been dealt like this. And therefore, in terms of equality before the law, President Zuma did not enjoy the equality that everybody is enjoying.
That said, he has spent a tremendous amount of time avoiding going to court. The reason that he's in jail is because of contempt of court, which means he didn't go. So he didn't avail himself. He did have the opportunity. He just didn't take it up, surely.
No, I think what you must not confuse your listeners. I think you need to understand how these things work. There is what is called a motion court, which is like a constitutional court, which deals with the affidavits and so on. There is what is called a trial court, which is what the Constitution requires, that if you're going to incarcerate a person must go through a trial in a trial court. And the reason for that is because when you are in a trial court, firstly, you'll get classified as an accused. So once you are an accused, then there's a whole litany of rights that are enshrined in Section 35 that you qualify for. Now, if you are going to make sure that President Zuma does not qualify for all the rights that he qualifies for in Section 35, but you want to treat him like a criminal, and yet all the criminals would have qualified for those rights, what do you think you're doing? Mm. It's almost like putting a person to drive a car and you put his hands behind the seat. This is what you've done. This can't be fair.
You know, I appreciate that you're from the Jacob Zuma Foundation and that is where your loyalty lies. But if you look at it from the citizens of a country perspective, don't you think that the optics here and the way in which this comes across from Jacob Zuma as a citizen, the way in which I see it is that he has avoided dealing with his issues. He didn't go to the commission. Suddenly we're hearing he can't come to court for the corruption trials, and then following that he gets released on medical parole, which is very similar, which is pretty much the same as happened to Shabir Sheikh some time ago, again within a Jacob Zuma corruption trial. Don't you think that put your loyalty aside, and I appreciate loyalty, I value loyalty, but put that aside, surely you appreciate that it looks very bad from an optics perspective for people like me, citizens of the country who aren't great politicians but are just trying to understand what's going on in front of us. Don't you think that there's a better way for Jacob Zuma and the foundation to encourage him to deal with this differently? What are your thoughts on that?
What you are suffering from is a bias. This is a problem. You are very biased.
No, we all are. I mean, I would say that you are too. We all are.
I allowed you to speak. You are very biased, and here's your bias. In all your articulations, you have not said anything about what President Zuma had asked the commission to do. The first thing it asked the commission to do, in fact, it had been to the commission twice. So this nonsense about President Zuma not wanting to go to the commission is a lot of fake news. He's been there twice. Whilst he was there, he then observed that the chair is biased. And then he asked for the chair to recuse. You're saying nothing about that. You're saying nothing about the fact that on what basis did the chair not want to recuse himself? You're saying nothing about that. In the commission's rules itself, if there is a contempt of not coming to the commission, there are all kinds of remedies that the commission are open to the commission, including taking a person to the NPA so that the person can go through trial. The commission didn't do this, but your biasness is not answering that question as to why is it that DCJ Zondo did not use all the remedies and exhaust all the remedies that the commission has given. Your biasness is getting you not to ask this. The Constitutional Court has also acted beyond the call of duty. The Constitutional Court has got two roles, supervisory role and also to be a court of first instance on matters that it has exclusive jurisdiction on. This same Constitutional Court chased away the DA when they went there with a life and death situation. Well,
unfortunately, we are almost out of time. I do appreciate you coming on. I did want to ask you about Arthur Fraser, but unfortunately, I do need to end it here. We do have another interview, but I do value you coming on. I do appreciate it. Whether I agree with you or don't agree with you, this is what that was. Mzwanele Mani, Jacob Zuma Foundation spokesperson. That is unfortunately where I leave it. I would love to have continued the conversation if indeed it was one, but it seems to have gone in one direction. Ronnie wants to know, is he for real? He is indeed. Bruce says, what a lot of codswallop from the Jay-Z Foundation.